It all started just a couple of months ago when a video skyrocketed into stardom. We hadn't really seen anything like it, at least not since Baxxed. Censorship that actually drove a video into the public eye. Of course, I'm talking about Plandemic. Plandemic, a short 30-minute video that featured Dr. Judy Mikovits, blew up the world as we knew it. And here is what the discussions looked like amongst the mainstream news anchors that did everything they could to try and stop it.
Plandemic.
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 It's called Plandemic, a 25-minute video claiming to show the real story behind COVID-19.
It has since been removed from various social media platforms, being banned on social media platforms.
It's actually been taken down from YouTube multiple times.
Plandemic has been debunked by numerous news outlets. Platforms like YouTube, Vimeo, and Facebook have taken it down.
I wouldn't limit speech, except in the cases where it's so obviously wacko.
Right.
YouTube is deleting it for violating guidelines on COVID misinformation, but that hasn't stopped tens of millions of people from sharing it on other platforms.
They knew that their video was going to trip the terms of service on YouTube and that YouTube and other platforms were going to take it down for health misinfo.
It was really embraced by various conspiracy theory groups that have strong networks on Facebook that can boost these videos.
So what they did, they created a website with a downloadable video on it as a tactic, churned the viralness of the video up quite a bit.
In just 1 week, it was viewed over 8 million times.
The film is the viral sensation of COVID-19 conspiracy theories.
But what do these conspiracy theorists know that we don't? Why are so many people listening to them?
Of course, that was the 30-minute movie with Judy Mikovits at the center of it. But 2 days ago, the full-length feature, Plandemic Indoctrination, came out. It is a massive success, and I am honored to be joined right now by, I think, arguably one of the greatest documentary filmmakers in the world today, Mickey Willis. What an amazing film. It absolutely blew my mind. I thought I had this all locked in, but your ability to move smoothly through all these conversations, it is a tour de force. So congratulations, just to start out with.
Thank you, Dale, and thank you for all the work you do.
Absolutely. Now, you called me after, you know, when you're in the middle of the heat, you're getting censored like crazy with the 30-minute film that you originally put out. And, you know, I recognize that energy. There was a sense of excitement, but panic. And I think back to when I went through this with Vax, when Vax got kicked out of Tribeca Film Festival, and then all the media was calling me a baby killer and all sorts of crazy things were happening. And the truth is Mickey, you strike me as somewhat like myself in that I sort of pride myself in being everybody's friend. I like getting along with people. You know, I really love people, and to be attacked like that, you have a sense there's going to be an attack, but when it actually happens, it's really hard to understand. What has the experience been like for you going through this?
Well, few people know. You're one of them. It's definitely been a roller coaster ride, and, you know, for the most part, it's been incredibly wonderful, but certainly, especially after the first release with Judy Mikovits, and, you know, having no way to predict its success, it's been seen over a billion times at this point. But to be, you know, after being in the media for 30 plus years, as you have been, I know the game, so it wasn't a surprise to me, but it still came shocking to see the depth to which the media was willing to dig to try to find some way to paint me and Dr. Mikovits as evil people. And so this era of character assassination, it's very little anymore do we debate about, you know, real science or real facts. It's just, you know, let us, you know, make the public hate you, and then that way anything that comes out of your mouth, they will resist. And so watching this happen and seeing the reporters and people that call themselves journalists contact people that I went to high school with years ago and just, you know, have them call me to say, you know, here are the tactics they were using. You know, is there anything we can find on this guy? You know, that has he been arrested? Has he done anything that we can use to smear him? Instead of just digging into the incredibly, you know, startling revelations revealed in part one regarding corruption, patents, things that affect all of our health, our lives, and our freedoms. They want to divert the world's attention to this trivial stuff that just creates more, you know, what we like to call fear porn.
Yeah, you know what I loved about the film and the way the fact that you had Judy first, you put it out, you teased the film, but then to see a feature film where I thought, well, we're just going to be business as usual, although the first film didn't happen, but you actually address in this film the attacks upon the Judy Mikovits interview. You support and deal with the questions that came in right at the top of your film. So it was amazing how you just brought us into real time the way this was all going. Of course, you knew there was probably going to be censorship here. I don't know if you know it, but just our promotion of today's show, saying we were going to be featuring Mickey Willis and Plandemic, right? You can see it says there it is. False information, you know, simply, what's the false information? I'm having a director on. I'm not lying about that. Now, we haven't even gotten to the part. I didn't say anything about the film or what was in it. So the false information is what? That I'm having Mickey Willis on? I'm sorry. He's coming on.
I'm not really Mickey Willis.
It's totally insane.
It's crazy, bro. I know.
Well, you know, you did a great job really dealing with all these issues. In fact, one of my favorite parts of the film really dealt with the fact checkers that we're all dealing with, this crazy censorship culture that we now live in, the total destruction of the First Amendment. I want to just show a clip about that. This is one part of Plandemic that really beautifully gets into the fact checkers. Take a look at this.
Let's take a look at a few of the most commonly used fact checkers, beginning with Snopes. The husband and wife duo of David and Barbara Mickelson founded Snopes.com in 1995. They have no journalism background or training whatsoever. They built their fact-checking empire by using Google as their primary verifying source. The Mickelsons divorced in 2015. Barbara sued David for embezzling money that he had allegedly spent on prostitutes, as well as a lavish honeymoon with his new wife, who worked as an escort in Las Vegas before joining the Snopes cast of characters. In 2017, David Mickelson's new business partners filed a lawsuit accusing Mickelson of multiple counts of fraud and embezzlement. Snopes proclaimed to be the internet's go-to source for discerning what is true and what is total nonsense. Yet one glance at their history of fact-free checking tells another story. When Dr. Mikovits claimed she was arrested without a warrant and jailed without a charge, Snopes rated her statement false. Had they bothered to explore the arrest documents, they would have seen that indeed there was neither a warrant nor signatures to officiate a charge, a fact that I confirmed with members of Dr. Mikovits' legal team.
Was there a search warrant?
No.
And was she ever charged?
No. Never charged with a crime.
100% correct. Judy has never been charged with any crime.
Wikipedia is the go-to destination for introductions to people, places, and things. Even the all-knowing Amazon Alexa calls on this digital encyclopedia.
Alexa, who is Dr. Judy Mikovits?
According to Wikipedia, Judy Ann Mikovits is a former American research scientist who is known for her discredited medical claims. She has been described as an anti-vaccination activist and a promoter of conspiracy theories, and has been accused of scientific misconduct.
Wikipedia is supported by the Wikimedia Foundation, a nonprofit parent organization with a long history of politically tied funders. Many named, many anonymous. What exactly does a Wikipedia donor receive in exchange for their generosity? What began as an unbiased, open-source platform is now weaponized to undermine the work and reputation of anyone deemed a threat to its stakeholders. And once they smear you, they lock you out for making corrections to your own bio. In summary, most independent fact-checkers are neither independent nor factual. Simply put, they are political spin machines.
I mean, Mickey, first of all, you cover so many topics so beautifully, so smoothly, but I was really happy to see you finally outing these fact-checkers, how insane they are. Most people wouldn't even sit in a room with these people. They are such you know, bottom feeders in society, yet smart, intelligent people quote, you know, Snopes and things like that. It's absolutely mind-blowing. You know, my Wikipedia has the same thing. If you look at my Wikipedia, there it is. You can tell it's locked out. I can't change it. Del Matthew Bigtree is an American television film producer and CEO of the anti-vaccination group Informed Consent Action Network, who produced the film Vax, based on the discredited views of Angie Wakefield, yada, yada. It goes on and on and on. Are you sure you want this? I mean, how do you, as a filmmaker, I mean, you're a successful filmmaker. There's so many other topics that you can be covering that will not, you know, have a, and this Wikipedia, it's really tough. When I want to interview somebody, the first thing they do is go and put in my name, and Wikipedia pops up, and now they're questioning me as a documentarian, as a reporter. Why subject yourself to this?
Well, you know, most of my career has been me doing what I want to do, and the rest of my career is doing what I have to do. The long and short of the story is this. When I was in my early 20s, I watched my brother die of bad AIDS treatments. Mm. 23 days later, I watched my mom die of bad cancer treatments. And so that was my introduction to the downside of Western medicine. And so that's never left me. That had, you know, that definitely shaped my life. And I it's something you don't forget. And then, of course, when it came time for my wife and I to have our first child 10 years ago, I began digging deep into the world of vaccines, because the question becomes, as you know, parents to be, what are we going to do in terms of vaccines? And already having that, you know, that tinge of suspicion for Western medicine, I said, instead of just blindly jumping in and doing what the industry says we should do, we should really look deeply into this. You know, all the different traditions that we do, including, you know, circumcision, all of this. Well, let's really look into it and find out, you know, what's best for the life of our baby. Bottom line, not what anyone says, but what's best for, you know, because we want to raise healthy beings. And so I began researching vaccines 10 years ago. And I have to say that the information that was available 10 years ago is not available now. And I know that from having a research team of 12 to 20 people working with me on Plandemic. And stuff that I knew was there 10 years ago, I told them to go hunt it down and find it for me. And even top investigators, research investigators, couldn't find it. And so we ended up having to literally go straight to the people in India and Africa and that dealt with these trials that harmed thousands of children and women and young girls, and to get it straight from the horse's mouth, you know, people that were there, part of the Indian parliament. And otherwise, you know, it's when you have as much money as people like Bill Gates, and you're directly tied to investing in most of the tech companies that hold this kind of information, it's very easy to get a hold of these stakeholders and to say, listen, I want everything that's online negative about me down. And if you're willing to spend that kind of money to do it, you can do it. And so you can literally erase history. And that's what's happened. We found that to be incredibly evident during the production of Plandemic 2. And so but that's really what started my journey, Del. And so when this all came up, I had met Judy Mikovits 2 years before I interviewed her for the first segment. And when the pandemic first happened, having been so impressed with her knowledge from the interview, from the first meeting I had with her 2 years ago, I called her up and said, I'd like to learn more about, you know, what's really happening right now, because it feels like something's not right. Early on here, it feels like there's politics are getting involved in something here. And so I just wanted to hear from a virologist that I trusted. And I sat down with her and said, you know, just tell me what's going on. And as she started to break it down for me, I said, it would be wonderful to jump on camera and to hear some of this on camera. And that's really how this all started. I brought her into my studio and we shot a little interview. And I also just really out of appreciation for Judy, and having known her well enough and have interviewed enough people that have known her for decades and having trust for her, I also just felt like it was due time that somebody told her story from her perspective without tainting it or smearing it. And so that's all the first episode was really about, was just allowing this woman to speak her truth and let the public and all of us decide, you know, what to do with it.
You know, I think the power and the importance of a film like Plandemic as you said, so many things are being erased, things that we've covered. But I think at least, you know, on the episodes of The High Wire where we have that print, we put it in our database, we're holding on to those things. We're actually building the time capsule. Plandemic is going to be a time capsule for things that will be erased in the future. One of my favorite parts, in fact, you talk about Bill Gates in the film, the discussion of Bill Gates, his vaccine program in Africa. I'm glad this is on film because I'm sure this will be wiped out tomorrow. Everyone should take a look at this. This is a section of the film about Bill Gates.
We're taking things that are, you know, genetically modified organisms, and we're injecting them in little kids' arms. We just shoot them right into the vein.
A 2018 scientific study released in the International Journal of Environmental Research and Public Health concluded that over 490,000 children in India developed paralysis as a result of the Gates-supported oral polio vaccine that was administered between the years of 2000 and 2017. Using all the usual sleight of hand, U.S.-based media and fact-checkers rushed to bury the story. But thanks to the meticulous work of a team of Indian researchers and doctors, the inconvenient truth lives on the NIH.gov website.
I love how well you just laid out their attempts to stop this information, where they go to stop it, and then prove while it still exists, right, the NIH website, these things may not exist in the future. But Bill Gates, you know, when you talk about Bill Gates, obviously you really got deep into this issue. I wonder, you know, when you think of Bill Gates, I'm troubled. I can't tell. You know, we always hear about, you know, the Illuminati, right, that there's these people in the world that are controlling everything, whether it's, you know, the Rothschilds, Bilderbergers, or, you know, any of those groups. But is Bill Gates, do you think that there's someone behind Bill Gates, that he's still just a puppet for somebody else, or is he becoming a major player? Has he pushed someone out of their seat and said, this is my table, I'm sitting at this table now? Do you have a feeling on that right now?
Yeah, you know, it's all speculation. I don't know if there's someone pulling the strings of Bill Gates, but he's certainly colluding with a lot of other people that are in lockstep with his beliefs, and a lot of very, very powerful people. And we actually went very light on Bill Gates. I was very aware that to create a bridge for people to hear this dialogue that haven't been willing to listen before, that we can't go too far. And that might be, you know, a crazy statement to some of you who have seen the film and think we went far. But believe me, we could have gone a lot further. There are a lot of details that were very alarming to learn, particularly about Bill Gates' father, his background, their connection to eugenics. And there's some real stuff there and their deep concern. You know, we could have, there was a cut of the film where I had a series of moments of Bill Gates speaking about population control and population reduction. Yeah. And so this is a real thing that these elite forces are very concerned with. And, you know, the thing that's made it a real challenging situation is, you know, there's always a bit of truth and logic behind some of these draconian ideas, right? So if you've ever traveled to these third world countries and you see the situation they're in and the way the populations are crammed into square foot spaces, you know, you can understand why people would be concerned with overpopulation, especially in areas where they don't have the money or resources to sustain themselves. And so there's a real logical explanation there. And there's also a lot of statements that Bill Gates has made that the conspiracy theorists have run with, you know, that him saying that vaccines will reduce population. And you know, in all fairness, what he and Melinda, when they've made these comments out loud, what their logic is behind that is that if they have a healthier environment, that women in these third world countries will have less children. And therefore, ultimately, in 10 years down the road, we could have, you know, 10% fewer, you know, numbers of population. Yeah. So there's some logic there. But when you trace it back and you reverse engineer everything that they've done, what they've invested in, the way that they've moved into these countries and lied and forced vaccinations without consent of parents, and without the full disclosure of what these vaccines are, and in turn have left women sterilized, and in some cases children paralyzed, then at the very least you can say their methods of of pulling off what they might feel is a benevolent mission is anything but benevolent. They're doing it in an incredibly dark way, and that is without doubt. And so no matter what, even if their intentions, if they think their intentions are good, they need to be investigated for their methods of intentions, their methods of producing their trials. But in terms of your question, you know, I will say that in this whole process, after 10 years of going down the rabbit hole on Bill Gates, he is one of the most interesting characters. He's an enigma, this man, mm-hmm. because even though I have in front of me terabytes of footage of him contradicting himself, straight up lying. I mean, right after they do a simulation and a test for a pandemic, he comes out and says, "We've never tested it. We've never done a simulation." You know, like real blatant lies that he's told straight to the camera, which say a lot about the man's integrity and character. At the same time, even though I know everything I know, I would get a piece of video from my researchers and everyone that was digging up archived footage, and I would watch an interview with him, and particularly when he's sitting next to his wife, and I would find myself just sucked in and wanting so bad to change my mind on him. I just want to love this guy. There's something so endearing about him. He's got that little froggy smile that he does every time he's on stage. You know, you just look at it and you just go, as I say in the film, I want to believe that one of the richest men in the world is doing everything he can for the betterment of humanity. But at this stage, Dale, there's no doubt in my being that that's not the case.
You know, and the way you answered that is why I think Plandemic is so powerful. You don't just go for low-hanging fruit. You're not putting things together in a way where you sort of jump a gap without proof. I thought you were so careful and were so delicate with your facts, making sure you had it. There were so many places you could go, but you went in the places in the film that you had deadlocked to rights, and that's what makes this film dangerous. I believe it's what reminded me of what we, you know, were feeling with Vaxxed. Let's stick with what we can absolutely prove, what we know, because that is all the world needs to see. And clearly, you know, I can't say enough about this film. As one filmmaker to another, I am amazed at how you put this together. I'm amazed how quickly you were able to rebound from Judy and make this film. It is so smooth, so clean, so full of information, and so easy to understand all the way through. And I'm going to be honest with you. When I first saw the name Plandemic, when I first heard it, I watched Judy. I thought, you know, I'm not sure I buy that this was all planned. But when I watched how you really laid out Event 201, when you start seeing how all the things are playing out, how they were predicted, I was really, really, it grabbed me. And it's making me have to look at this, even though I've reported on it. And, you know, as reporters, I feel like I've looked at every side of it. But you really made me stare into something that I think as human beings we just don't want to accept. I, too, want to believe the best in Bill Gates. I come from a place of loving people. I say, you know, they mean to do good in this world. But sometimes it clouds my vision. I felt like this film punched me in the face. And I think one of the points I want to make here is that your film showed that I found one of the most shocking details and so true is whether or not this is a man-made virus, that's going to end up being, I think, a bigger and bigger story. I am hearing murmurs and inside, you know, whispers now from a lot of scientists I trust that this hasn't gone away. No one seems to have really accepted whether it's natural or not, but your film points out the ultimate point. Either way, a crime has been committed. Take a look at this.
That's right.
On April the 25th, 2003, the U.S. Center for Disease Control filed a patent on the coronavirus transmitted to humans. Under 35 U.S. Code Section 101, nature is prohibited from being patented. Either SARS coronavirus was manufactured, therefore making a patent on it legal, or it was natural, therefore making a patent on it illegal. If it was manufactured, it was a violation of biological and chemical weapons, treaties, and laws. If it was natural, filing a patent on it was illegal. in either outcome, both are illegal.
To me, that's it. You've got them nailed to the wall. What are they going to stand in? Hey, Tony Fauci, which one is it? Which one of these hallways do you want to say you walked down? Did you get a patent on something was natural, or is this unnatural, therefore allowing the patent, but means you were part of working with bioweapons? First of all, you know, David Martin, who really has some incredible revelations, you use him throughout the film. What a brilliant mind. And the way this is all put together, what do you want to achieve with this film? When you sit and you have to sign off, and it's like a painting. At some point, you have to say, that's it. That's what I'm sending out into the world. What is it, that plandemic indoctrination? What is the goal?
Yeah, I think that the answer to that is really twofold. The first step is I just wish that the people that are behind this who have found themselves, I want to believe the best in people too, just like you, Del, and I want to believe that the people that are behind some of the worst parts of this situation have been snagged into it. I want to believe that it wasn't something intentionally they found themselves in, but I know this from being friends and having been on the road with a lot of politicians. Some of them are really good people that have just trapped themselves through incremental steps into situations that they can't get out of. And so the first thing that I hope for is that the people that are the perpetrators of this, the plan that have leveraged a real virus, which I want to be clear on. I believe this is a real virus, but I do believe that the pandemic has been manufactured and leveraged for political purposes, and for the gain of more power and control over our lives. But with that said, I just hope that those people, that they see that the jig is up and that it's time to move on and to do better things with their lives and their fortunes. That's the first thing. The second thing is I think it's, the greater calling is for us to, as Dr. David Martin says so clear in the film, this is our opportunity to return and to reclaim our humanity. And so what that means is a broad statement, but I think that we're starting to get that right now, that somewhere along the way, and medicine and the system of medicine has been a really one of the leading causes of us kind of losing touch with our humanity, because through the process of the development of what we call Western medicine, synthetic drugs, manufactured petroleum-based drugs, which was commandeered and hijacked by John D. Rockefeller in the early 1900s, where they then inverted the world and the narrative to claim that all of our original medicines, our medicines derived from the intelligence of nature, were somehow quackery. They were the things that were alternative. And these new synthetic medicines were then declared as the gold standard. And in getting us humans to succumb to that ideology, we have been forced through decades of propaganda, a bit at a time, every billboard, every commercial, every movie, every message that we've received through the media, to see ourselves as these dependent beings that need the help of man and synthetic alternatives to survive. And so returning to our humanity to me means that we come back to a place of trust. Trust in our nature, trust in this planet. It's one of the reasons that we're so harmful to our environment, because I think we've lost that sense of respect and honor for this very planet and system that sustains and gives us life. And so returning to that deep appreciation for life itself, for our own bodies, trust for our nature, to realize that one of the greatest downsides of these vaccines, and this is coming from a guy, I am not anti-vaccine at all. I'm a great lover of medicines that actually work and that have been properly tested. That said, one of the most harmful effects of us denying our nature and relying on instead synthetic medicines is that it's told our immune systems that we don't need them. We don't need it. And that in itself is a real threat to the survival of our species. We have to come back into a place of realizing that we are resilient and from a brilliant system, and that we have the ability to adapt and to survive just about any toxic environment if we allow our bodies to adjust to it and to evolve to it. That does not mean there's no need for medicine, but I think at the very least we need to start looking at our addiction to the, and it's really not just medicine, you know, even you know, the convenience, you know, the convenience of fast food, all the stuff that's just convenient for us. It's more convenient just to take a drug than to actually let our bodies heal, and we want to get better in an hour, while the body might take a week to actually heal itself. But within that week, what is built up in our natural systems is exactly what we need to survive our future. And so that's what I hope ultimately people get, is more trust of their own system and of nature itself.